Number 138 on the page 239 of your hymn book, Crown Him with Many Crowns, the Lamb upon His Throne. Hark how the heavenly anthems drown all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. The hymn number 138 on the page 231, standing as we sing and singing it out with all of our hearts. Stand as we sing. Just unite our hearts together, please, in prayer. Let us just look afresh to the Lord today. praying for us help and grace and presence to be our blessed portion. Our Heavenly Father, we gather, Lord, before Thee in this Thy day. We come to Thee in no merit of our own, but Father, we come to Thee through the name of Thy Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We do approach Thee, O God, upon redemption ground. And O God, we thank Thee for the one of whom we have just been singing, the one who died on the cross to defeat death and sin and hell and sorrow and the grave. And we thank Thee, O God, for Christ who died, who rose again victorious the third day, the one who is alive forevermore, and the one who died the just for us, the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, afresh today for Christ, the perfect, sinless, spotless, flawless Lamb of God. We thank Thee that He was perfect, He did no sin, He knew no sin. And we thank Thee, O God, that He went to the cross of Calvary. There He suffered, He bled, He died, He poured out His life unto death, even the death of the cross. He took upon Himself the wrath of God, the curse of God that was our due, that was our desert for our sins as our substitute. He bore that wrath upon Himself. And Father, we thank Thee that He shed His blood. He poured out His life unto death. And Father, we thank that He purchased life eternal, pardon for sin, eternal salvation, and all the riches, O God, of Thy grace in salvation for all His people, for all who will trust Him, who will embrace Him as Savior and as Lord. And O God, we thank Thee, O God, today that Christ has died and risen again. We thank Thee that He is alive forevermore, that He is seated, O God, at Thy right hand in heaven's glory. And Father, we rejoice that there He intercedes for us as the people of God. And O God, our Father, as we come before Thee this day, we thank Thee for the blessings of salvation. We thank Thee for heaven today, the forgiveness of sins and the riches of Thy grace, that well of grace that never runs dry. We thank Thee, O God, today for the temporal mercies of life that Thou dost give to us, for health or strength or freedom, our liberties that we can gather, O God, in this fashion to worship Thee and to praise Thee. And O God, do accept of our thanks for all of Thy goodness and mercy and kindness and love, O God, toward us. And O God, as we come afresh before Thee today, we do confess our sins before Thee. We pray for that fresh cleansing in our Savior's blood. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt prepare our hearts to meet with Thee, that we might worship Thee in spirit and in truth today. Grant, Lord, that the thoughts of our heart and the words of our lips would be acceptable, Lord, in Thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. And Father, just bless our hearts as Thou alone would see our particular need. We thank Thee for every child of Thine in this meeting house. Lord, bless and encourage and strengthen and edify Thy people. Lead Thy people on with Thyself. Grant that every believer in Christ would be built up in their most holy faith and led on with Thyself, we pray, into a closer walk, into a closer relationship, Lord, with Thyself, we pray. And Father, we pray for anyone through times of testing or trial. Lord, strengthen them and be their help, we pray. Others needing a word of comfort, be their comforter today. Others needing a word of guidance and counsel, teach them and lead them in the way that Thou will have them to go. And for Father, any with us today who might be wandering afar off from God, Lord, may they know Thy restoring touch upon their life and their heart and soul today. And Lord, for any with us today, young or old, not saved, Lord, do speak to them today, we pray. We pray, Lord, that they might realize their great need of a Savior. May they realize, O God, the awful brevity of life and the certainty of death. And O God, we pray that even today that they might come in faith and in repentance unto the Lord and trust Him as their own and personal Savior. We thank Thee for the great promise of the Word of God, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We think of those today who cannot be with us because of age and sickness and infirmity. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt richly bless them and minister to them, we pray. We pray for those that mourn and grieve today, have suffered loss in recent times, we pray, that they will know the comforting hand of our God to be upon them. Bless our homes and our families.
Meet the need of every household, we pray. And Father, unite our family circles in the Lord. And grant that each one will know the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, that addeth no sorrow thereto, we pray. Again, Lord, we thank thee for every outreach from this congregation. We pray for your hand of blessing upon it. We pray for the children's ministry, the door-to-door ministry, the telephone ministry, Lord, and the Sunday school, the youth work, and the Bible class. May your hand of blessing be upon every effort. And be pleased to use these efforts, we pray, and through the going forth of thy word, even in this community and further afield. We pray that thou wilt bless thy word to the saving of souls and to the extension, Lord, of thy kingdom, O God, we ask. Bless our land today, O God. Remember all our sister congregations. May each one know the blessing of the Lord upon them. Bless every minister and student and layman. We pray for every missionary at home and abroad that thou wilt bless them and be with them and use them for the glory of thy name. Lord, have mercy upon our land, we pray. Lord, leave us not to ourselves and to our sins, we pray. Lord, turn the tide, turn the hearts of many today, even unto the Lord in days of revival and reformation, we pray. We pray for, Lord, those that rule in our land, may they rule in righteousness and in the fear of God. And Lord, those that would seek to promote laws that are contrary to the word of God and the ways of God, Lord, blow upon them, we ask of thee. Bring their plans, their schemes, O God, to nothing, we pray. And Father, we pray, O God, that there might be that turning to thee, even amongst those that rule in our land. May there be that seeking of the Lord and the right ways of God, we ask. We pray, Lord, for our queen and royal family. Have mercy, Lord, upon them. And may the light of thy truth, the light of the gospel, shine into that household, O God, we ask. Again, Lord, we bring before thee the situation in Ukraine. Lord, have mercy upon that land. Bless and preserve and protect the witness of thy people in that land, we ask of thee. And Father, we pray that thou would intervene and even cause Putin and his army to leave that land, we pray. Send confusion and derision amongst them, we pray. And be pleased to preserve that land and grant that even there would soon be peace and stability once again in that area, we pray. Remember, Lord, those that are refugees, those in great need. And Lord, those who would seek to help them and meet their temporal needs, we pray that thou wilt bless them and that thou wilt undertake for them and encourage them in the ways of the Lord. So, Father, bless us now, we pray, as we further praise thy name, as we read thy word, as we preach thy word. Have thy way in every heart and life today. Visit this house with thy salvation and do every heart much good, we pray of thee, and bring glory and honor unto thy precious name. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. We'll further praise the Lord this morning by singing together hymn number 614 in your hymn book. 614, you'll find it in the page 424. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's walls surrounded, thou mayst smile at all thy foes. A wonderful hymn of truth, reminding us of God's preserving hand upon his church and his people throughout the ages of time. 614, we'll stand as we sing, and singing it with all of our hearts.
to turn this morning, please, in God's Word to the book of the Psalms for Bible reading, to the Psalm 129, Psalm 129. And then also turning, please, over to the New Testament book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, and just reading some verses from the opening part of that chapter as well. Reading, first of all, from Psalm 129, and then turning over to 1 Peter, chapter number 1. Let us hear God's Word as we read it together this morning. Psalm 129, verse 1. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, may Israel now say. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back, they made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous, he hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops which withereth afore it groweth up. Wherewith the moor filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. Neither do they which say, go by, say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. And turning, please, over to 1 Peter, chapter number 1, beginning a reading at the verse 1 of the chapter there. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, and unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 5 of that chapter, and our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. I want to welcome all this Lord's Day morning to God's house. It's good to see so many gathered with us here today. We bid you all a very special welcome and a warm word of welcome in the Lord's great name. Prayers the Lord will bless you today around God's word. As a believer, may you be encouraged afresh in the ways of God. And if you're here today and you're not saved, may you come even today and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Welcome those also who may be viewing online. We thank you for joining with us. And we pray the Lord will richly bless you today around God's word. And announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember the evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30 in the prayer room at the back there. We encourage as many as possible to gather for the season of prayer before the gospel meeting, which will be at 7 o'clock. We'll be long to take that meeting. Pray for that meeting, plan to join with us, and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Do remember that today there's a special offering for the Ukraine appeal, and all the loose offering and the plates goes to that appeal. And again, if you put your gift in an envelope, use gift aid, just put your number on that, and that also will go towards that appeal. So do remember that, please, today. Tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m., meeting at the church car park here for the outreach, door-to-door outreach. Pray for that. And if you can join with us, we'll be glad to see you meeting here at 2 p.m. Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. I belong to take that meeting. Trust as many as possible gather for prayer and the time around God's Word. Friday night, 6:30, the weekly children's meeting here. And then that'll be followed by the youth fellowship at 8 o'clock. Remember that. Pray for it. Encourage all the children and young people to attend those meetings. Remember the other children's meetings as well throughout the week in your prayers. And next Lord's Day, the 27th of March, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. morning worship service, 12 noon. The evening gospel service at 7 p.m. It will be a special testimony meeting. And God willing, our brother Mr. Sam Houston will be along to sing and also to testify of God's saving grace and keeping power in his life. And there's wee invite cards for that. We encourage you to take those and give them out and invite family members and friends and neighbors, maybe people at work along to that testimony meeting next Lord's Day. Both services next Lord's Day will be preceded by the half hour of prayer. This coming Saturday, the 26th of March, is the Consider Christ Outreach down to County Cavan. Do pray for that. But again, if you can go and want to go, do let me know and we'll let you know the arrangements. But really like to know numbers by tomorrow at the latest. So do remember that, please. The Vision magazine is available there in the porch. Do get a copy as you leave. Those magazines are free. You'll find good reading there. And do take them and give them out to family members and friends as well. Do also please pray for Brother Colin and Noel, commencing a two-week gospel mission today down in Newcastle Primary School in County Down. So do be much in prayer for that. And then as a church, we'd like to express our sincere Christian sympathy to our sister, Mrs. Pat Charton, husband Bob. Pat lost a sister just the week before last, and we assure that family of our prayers and sympathies at this time of loss and bereavement. Then also as a church, we'd like to express our sincere sympathy to our brother, Mr. James Little, his wife Esther, children Chloe and Molly, and the loss of James's father. That funeral is this afternoon, so be much in prayer for that family as well at this time of loss and bereavement, that they'll know God's help and grace in their time of need. That is really all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book for our next hymn is 307. It's a wonderful hymn of testimony. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me have been made known, nor why, unworthy as I am, he claimed me as his own. We'll keep our seats while we sing. We don't take up an offering during the service, but the offering plates are at the rear. Remember that as you leave. But let us really sing it out with all our hearts. 307, remaining seated while we sing. We'll turn to that psalm that we read earlier, please, to Psalm 129. And just with God's word open before us, let us bow, please, to just in a brief word of prayer. Lord, we're mindful today of those that mourn, have suffered loss. Remember your sister Pat and Bob and the Charlton family and that wider family circle. Remember James and Esther and Chloe and Molly and that wider little family circle as well. We bring these families before thee today. We pray that thou will give them grace and strength and help and comfort, that thou, Lord, will fill the vacant chair with the presence of the Lord, and that these families will know that underneath and all around are the everlasting arms of the Saviour. And even, Lord, for those maybe in these family circles still not saved, Lord, speak to them, and that even, Lord, through the passing of these loved ones from this scene of time, cause others also to consider their great need of a Saviour, and to put their trust in the Lord Jesus, whom to know is life eternal. Lord, bless us now as we come to thy word. Give help in the ministry of thy word this morning. Pour out thy Holy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike. We pray for right words. We pray for liberty, clarity of mind, plainness, simplicity of speech. Bless thy word to the saving of the lost. Bless thy word to the encouragement, the building up of the believer. And in everything that is said and done, glorify the Saviour, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Now in Samuel Stone's great hymn, The Church's One Foundation, he speaks to us in that hymn of the Lord preserving his church. He says, "Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest." And there he highlights the great truth, though there's tribulation and tumult for the church of Christ, God's preserving hand is upon her. And these words, yes, highlight the great truth of Scripture that no matter what happens on this earth, the church of Christ shall be victorious. The church of Christ shall be preserved by God to the very end of time itself. You think of the great promise of Christ in the Gospel of Matthew, when he says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And this wonderful preservation of God's church is highlighted for us in the psalm before us, Psalm 129. This psalm, yes, speaks in particular of Israel's preservation from her enemies. Right from the very dawn of time, yes, many have tried to annihilate the Jews and bring to naught the land of Israel. Yet despite this, Israel still exists as a nation today. And she will do so right until the end of time when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again in power and in great glory. It's the same also for the church of Christ. And when we talk of the church of Christ, we speak of those who are saved by God's grace, those who are born again of the Spirit of God, those who are redeemed by the blood of Christ from every tribe and kindred and nation. Yes, the church of Christ is attacked, but despite all the attacks of Satan and the powers of darkness against the church of Christ, she still remains. And she will remain until the end of time. Why? Because God's preserving hand is upon her. And this glorious truth is illustrated for us in this psalm. When one considers what is said to us here about Israel of old. And as we look then briefly this morning at the psalm and consider Israel of old, there are three things I want to set before you regarding God's preservation of his church. You'll notice, first of all, here with me, the afflictions of Israel. Look at verse 1 and verse 2 of the psalm. The psalmist says, "Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth," may Israel say. "Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth." And those words show us that from our birth as a nation, the afflictions of Israel and upon the people of Israel were numerous. You think back to Jacob. He was persecuted by his brother Esau. Think also of how the Jews, the Israelites, were persecuted down in the bondage of Egypt under the reign of Pharaoh. Then again, throughout the Bible, you read of how Israel were opposed by the Assyrians, by the Babylonians, by Rome itself. And was all this opposition against her as a people, as a nation. Think also of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, when he came into this world. My, he was opposed. And look at the reference to that very fact in verse 3 of the Psalm. It speaks there of the sufferings of Christ in his trial when he was whipped and beaten and smitten. It says, the plowers plowed upon my back, they made long their furrows. Notice a specific reference to the physical sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then think of Israel after Bible times. Israel was persecuted and has been persecuted by the Arab nations, by the Muslim peoples of this world, by the Crusades of Europe. Think also of the 20th century men like Stalin and Hitler. They tried to obliterate the Jews. Even in very recent times, the leader of Iran, the present state of Iran, and the present leader, he has sworn the obliteration, the annihilation of Israel and the Jewish people. And the Bible shows us that at right to the very end of the world, yes, even when the end time Antichrist arises, that the nation of Israel and the Jewish people, they will suffer greatly. In Matthew chapter 24, and the verse number 21, Christ speaks these words. He says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And by the sufferings and the travail of Israel as a nation will be awful and terrible even prior to the return of Christ. The Bible shows us, as it was with the Jew and as it will be with the Jew and with Israel, so it shall also be with the church of Christ and the church of the redeemed. You think of what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. He says, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And Christian, in this world, you can expect persecution. You can expect afflictions. You can expect troubles and trials. By the devil, he will see to this as soon as you are saved. As soon as you start living for God and start living for Christ. It has been said that babes in grace are cradled in opposition. That persecution is the heirloom of the church, the ensign of the very elect of God itself. Believer in Christ, when you seek to live for the Lord and serve the Lord, yes, the devil will make it hard for you. He will stir up opposition against you as a believer, as a Christian. And the Lord has warned you and I of this in the Scriptures. Remember what he said to his disciples in the Gospel of John. He says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also, he says, persecute you. When we think here of the afflictions of Israel of old, yes, we are reminded of the persecution and the affliction of the world and the devil that he unleashes against God's people and the church of Christ. Yes, we see from this psalm that Israel's afflictions were numerous, but you see also that they were limited. For look at what the psalmist goes on to say in the latter part of verse 2 of the psalm. He says, yet they have not, he says, prevailed against me. In other words, all who have and all who will rise up against Israel, they will be hindered by God. Even the very end time Antichrist will be defeated by Christ himself when Christ returns in power and in great glory. Turn with me in your Bible over to 2 Thessalonians and to the chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And this chapter here speaks to us about the rise of the end time Antichrist. That figure who will set himself up against God and all that concerns God. A great figurehead in the world. And look at what is said about him and about his character. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in the verse number 1. Paul says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Look at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That means a falling away from the things of God. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He's speaking there of the Antichrist being revealed before Christ returns in power and great glory. Look at his character, verse 4. He says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Look at verse 9, verse 10. You'll see there that his power is after Satan. It is satanic power that he wields upon the world. It says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. May we see this powerful figure, this end time Antichrist, and he will unleash his power against God's people. But look at what will happen to him when Christ returns. Look at verse 8 of the chapter. It says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, notice it, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. There we speak of the destruction of the end time Antichrist by Christ when he comes in power and in great glory. And as it is with the nation of Israel, so it is the same for the church of Christ. Yes, God will be victorious over all those who oppose his kingdom, over all those who oppose his cause. It says in the book of Philippians that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Well, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. You think back to what you read in Acts chapter 12. There you read of Herod persecuting the church of Christ. James was put to the sword. Peter was put in prison. Yet the church prayed for his release, and Peter was delivered, and Herod at that time, his plans were defeated. And we read of Peter, and it says, when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord have sent his angel and have delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. He knew God's deliverance. And further on down that chapter, we read there of God dealing with Herod and slaying him in judgment because he gave not God the glory. Give not glory and praise to God. There you see of how God dealt with the enemies of his church and his people. Child of God, are you presently going through perhaps a time of opposition because of your faith? Because of your Christian witness, your Christian testimony? Then, believer, pray. Ask the Lord for deliverance. Ask the Lord for victory. David could say, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. The psalmist says, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Again, Peter says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Why, when you're persecuted for your faith, for your stand for the Lord, dear believer, pray. Ask the Lord to help. Ask the Lord to intervene. He is your helper. He is your rock. He is your fortress. He is your strength. Yes, we see here the afflictions of Israel. Notice secondly here from the psalm, notice the vindication of Israel. Look at verse 4 of the psalm. Notice what it says. It says, the Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Notice that little phrase there, the Lord is righteous. It literally means the Lord is just. He is one who keeps his word, his promise, his covenant. In other words, he will not forsake the people that belong to him, his own inheritance. He will not forsake those whom he has redeemed. In the book of Isaiah, the Lord says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of God. In the book of Genesis, you read how God made a covenant with Abraham and all his people. And this is what God said to Abraham at that time. He says, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And that promise will hold good for Israel and for the Jewish people right to the very end of time. And that same promise applies to all God's redeemed people. The Lord will deliver his people from the oppression of the enemy. For God's people are very dear and very special to the Lord. You think of what the Lord says about his people in the book of Zechariah. He says, he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. God's people are very dear to the Lord. Turn with me your Bible over to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54 and the verse number 17. Look at what you read there, Isaiah 54 verse 17. What a promise this is from God to his people. This is a promise for you, believer in Christ, in the meeting this morning. When you are persecuted for your faith and stand for the Lord, it says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. O faithful Christian, this is the Lord's promise for you when you bear reproach for Christ. Indeed, this is why the psalmist could say in the psalm before us this morning about the ungodly, that they have not prevailed against me, because God is true to his word. He keeps his covenant, his promise with his people. And as the Lord is true to his word, dear believer, you can depend upon the Lord to deliver you. When Satan afflicts, when Satan opposes and tries you and tests you and tempts you for being a Christian, the Bible says, there have no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And there you see that God is faithful, and he can make a way of deliverance for you, Christian, when there seems to be no way. And this is why the hymn writer could say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Child of God, remember what it says here in verse 4 of the psalm, the Lord is righteous. That means God keeps his word. God is true to his word. And you can depend upon him to deliver you in the time of affliction. Turn back to Psalm 34. Look at what the psalmist says there at the end of that psalm. In verse number 19, he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. There you read of the Lord's righteous dealings with his people. He delivers his people. He does not forsake his people. He does not cast off his people. Yes, we see the afflictions of Israel. We see the vindication of Israel. But notice finally here from this psalm before us this morning, notice the prophecy against the enemies of Israel. What was that prophecy? It was that the enemies of Israel would be confounded. Look at verse 7 and verse 6 and verse 5 of the psalm. Psalm 129, verses 5 to 7. It says, let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth afore it groweth up. Wherewith the mower filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. Not only there is there a prophecy that the enemies of Israel would be confounded, but there's also there a prophecy that they would be void or empty of God's blessing. Look at the final verse of the psalm. It says, neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. By these words here, the psalmist was praying that God would drive back their enemies. He was praying, yes, that their strategies would be unsuccessful. He was praying, yes, that they would be empty and void of the Lord's blessing. What an awful plight it is for a person, for a people, for a nation, not to have the blessing of God upon them, to know the favor of God. You think back to that time in the Old Testament whenever King Sennacherib of Assyria besieged Jerusalem. What did Hezekiah do? He prayed to God that God would rout the enemy at that time. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 37. And you read of that particular incident there in the history of ancient Israel and ancient Judah. Look at verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 37. Here you have the message from King Hezekiah to the prophet Isaiah at that time regarding the attack of the Syrians upon them. It says in verse 4, maybe the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria's master have sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God have heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. And there Hezekiah was asking Isaiah to pray for the remnant of God's people. And that's again what Hezekiah himself did. Look at verse 14 of the chapter. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord. He was praying here that God would intervene. The enemy had encamped all around the city that laid siege to Jerusalem. Humanly speaking, there seemed to be no way out, no deliverance for Israel and Judah of old. But Hezekiah prayed. There was a praying remnant. And look at what Hezekiah prayed in verse 20 of the chapter. He says, now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Then Hezekiah the son of Amos sent unto Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord had spoken concerning him. And God had a message. God answered their prayers. What was that answer? Look at verse 35 of this chapter. God says, for I will defend the city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Further on down the chapter, you read of the routing of Sennacherib and his army by God. God intervened. Why? Because Hezekiah went up to pray, to the temple to pray. And he spread the matter before the Lord, and God gave deliverance. And God gave favor to his people of old. And God protected them and delivered them from the enemy of that time. And likewise, yes, down throughout time, throughout the history of the Church of Christ, there have been many, many times when her existence has been threatened by the ungodly, by the forces of darkness. But God's people have prayed. And the enemies of truth and righteousness have been overthrown. And God's cause has been forwarded and has been preserved and kept and blessed of God. Child of God, what's the application to you and I in these days in which we live? Yes, we live in a day of increasing ungodliness in every hand, a day of the increase of false religion, and many of the forces that are against our raid, that are against the Church of Christ, the cause of God and the people of God. Yet what are we to do? We are to pray. We're to pray against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men. Yes, in such a day we have warrant, yes, from the Scripture to pray. Pray for the overturning of God's enemies, to pray for revival of God's church and reformation in our land and in our nation. The psalmist prayed, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Turn over to the prophecy of Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter number 3, or chapter number 3 in the verse number 2 of the prophecy of Habakkuk. It was a day of trial for God's ancient people, a day of dearth, a day when the ungodly were seeking to have the upper hand. Yet look at what Habakkuk did. He prayed. Look at verse 2 of Habakkuk chapter 3. He says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath. Remember mercy. He says, O Lord, there revive thy work. In the midst of the years, in the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Believer, pray. Pray for the overthrowing of God's enemies. and the forces of ungodliness and darkness in our day, but pray also for revival. Pray for the forwarding of God's kingdom. The Bible says there shall be showers of blessing. That's the promise of God who is righteous. God who owns His word. God who keeps His word. God who cannot break His word. Yes, in the psalm before us, we see God's preserving hand upon Israel of old. And it is but a picture, but a mirror of God's preserving power and grace upon His church. Right to the end of time, till Christ comes back again in power and in great glory. You know the psalm here before us that highlights the conflict there is between Christ and Satan, between God's people and the ungodly, between righteousness and sin. That's the conflict here that has been outlined, and that's a conflict that began at the Garden of Eden and will continue until there is time no more. This great conflict between Christ and the devil, between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. You know, as we close this meeting this morning, let me ask you the question today in this meeting, friend. What side are you on today in this meeting? Are you with Christ in this meeting, or are you against Christ? Are you saved, or are you unsaved? Are you living for Christ, or is it the case that you're living for self, for sin, and for the world? Oh, Christ says in the Gospel of Matthew, He says, he that is not with me, He says, is against me. Realize today that without Christ to save, you're lost in sin. You're bound for hell. You're in the devil's kingdom. To be saved, to be delivered, you must come as a repentant sinner to Christ. Put your faith and trust in Him and rest upon Him alone for salvation. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. To be in Christ as a repentant sinner, you must receive Christ by faith and trust Him and rely upon Him alone as Savior, rely upon Him alone for salvation. The Lord says, but as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. If you have not already done so, friend, today may you choose Christ. May you trust Him as Savior. May you stand up and be counted for Christ. My, in the day of Moses, he said to the children of Israel, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And friend, if you are to be in the Lord's side, you must come unto Christ. Trust Him. Rest upon Him alone for salvation. Oh, if you're not saved, may you come to know Him and trust Him today. Live for Him. Be prepared for the return of Christ. And be sure and ready of heaven. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together hymn number 548. 548. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be His helpers all our lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for Him will go? We'll stand as we sing, singing verses 1 and 3 only, standing as we sing, singing it with all of our hearts and thinking of the words as we sing them. 548 verses 1 and 3, standing as we sing.
Thank you.
Father and our God, we thank thee for thy presence with us in our meeting this morning. Bless thy word and the truths of thy word to every heart. We thank thee for each one that is on the Lord's side in this meeting, who knows the Lord, who's trusted him, who's ready and waiting for the return of Christ. Help us, Lord, day by day to stand fast for thee, and to live for thee, to serve thee, to do thy will, to do thy bidding, Lord. But Lord, for any in our meeting house today, Lord, not saved, not yet on the Lord's side, Lord, speak to them. And even today may they come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. Have mercy upon our land in these days in which we live. Though the foe may rage, we pray that thou wilt rout their plans, their schemes, we ask. Bless thy cause, the kingdom of Christ, that kingdom that knows no end. Bless the cause of God and the cause of God, the gospel in our land, that even today many might come to know the Lord as Savior, and that thy cause and thy kingdom would be strengthened and would be advanced. Here in heaven, thy dwelling place, take us to our homes in safety. Bless us throughout the remainder of this thine own day. For we do pray and we do ask all these things for Jesus' sake and for thine eternal glory and praise. Amen and amen.